of the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For God, who commanded the light to shine, out of darkness has shined in our hearts, in our glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Commanded the light to shine, out of darkness has shined in our hearts.
We're going to talk about today Jesus' nature that ruled in him is ours. Jesus' nature that ruled in him is ours. Praise God. I want to just glean today from the Beatitudes, which we find in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and just looking at verses 3 to 10. This isn't really a full teaching on the Beatitudes as such, but I want to just highlight from what our Lord gave here in relation to the fact that Jesus' nature that ruled in him by the Spirit is also the same that rules in us. So in other words, what I'm talking about today is what Jesus experienced from his Father. The very Spirit that led and guided him is also the same shared with us through Jesus Christ. So our Lord was able to be the first overcomer, to overcome sin, to overcome all things, and above all, death, that God rightfully so raise him up in glory, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And the very power that God shared and invested through Jesus Christ in his flesh is also the very same Spirit working in and through you and I. And this is why we cannot fail. Maybe we're going through some trials, we don't feel too good, or whatever it is. But the fact remains is that through the new birth, God has shared and is giving us what Jesus experienced, what led him and raised him from the dead, is also ours in Christ. Now that might sound elementary, but we do need to remind ourselves of our salvation. We do periodically need to come back to the basics. And very often, Christians who have been walking for many years with God make this grave mistake, and they start to become puffed up in pride and too much knowledge. But you see, God won't let us do that. He's going to bring us back and reveal to us what our new birth and experience entails. And indeed, it's a lifetime walk, experiencing it. There's always more to be experienced and found in the new birth, the new nature that we have received in Christ Jesus. And we should never, ever forget that. However far, however much we mature and we know God is maturing the body of Christ into sonship, the bride making herself ready, but he will bring us back and remind us. And that is why I want to look briefly at the Beatitudes this morning in Matthew 5, because it, in many ways, it does precisely that. Let's just read it to remind ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we're talking about this morning, Jesus' nature that ruled in him is ours. Now when we read the Sermon on the Mount, it's interesting because it can produce actually a sense of despair. And in many ways, this is exactly what it's meant to do. In actual fact, the Word of God, the Gospels, actually raise this sense, this feeling of utter despair. The law that God gave to the children of Israel was actually to do that. It wasn't to be kept as such, because God knew that man can't do it. The nature of God's word is to throw us entirely and completely on God himself, who is the only one that can and does work this in and through us. And when you read the Beatitudes, for example, in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As long as we live a self-righteous life, that we can walk, that we are in control, that we believe that we obey God, that we know the word of God inside out, I know God, I have his spirit within me, I'm well able to overcome, even though I have some trials or whatever it is, I can't fail, I'm on the right track, I'm making it in. We have not understood anything there that's written. It's called self-righteousness, that I can walk it. And all the while we are oppressed and deceived in areas of what I've just mentioned. We don't say it like that, like I have spoken it, but in reality, in living, we can live like that. We're going to find that God will leave us in our state until we acknowledge our absolute ignorance of his will for his life for us. We're going to fall flat on our face until we acknowledge we are utterly useless without his grace and mercy. Because that is what he's saying here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, when it means poor in spirit, you have an experience of mercy. You have been forgiven so much that there's no beginning, no end. You can't really even begin to put it into words what we have been pardoned, forgiven of. Because there's no room for self-righteousness. And sadly, that plagues the house of God. It keeps professing believers ineffectual. It keeps them weak, in bondage, confused. And yet they believe they're right. And they walk right with God because they go to church and they pray and they read their Bible. And he'll leave us in that state until we acknowledge this. Till we acknowledge that we're blind. We're blind of the wisdom and knowledge that God wants us to have. So when we read this, we have to learn Jesus is more than just a teacher. And that's what he's doing here. He's teaching the multitudes, which often he did. He's setting out the divine principles of entering the kingdom of heaven here. So he's more than just a teacher, actually, when we read this, because if that's all we see him as, if we just see this as teachings given to us that we're to live by these standards, this will do nothing but frustrate you. And it will make you feel angry, confused. Now, sometimes the Word of God, when we read it, it does that in us. It raises all sorts of emotions. One of which we say at times, I can't walk this. It's just way, way beyond me. I just don't have it. And we get totally frustrated and angry by the standards that he set. Well, God has raised these standards for the very purpose because they can't be met. That's the whole purpose of it. Nobody can live this. Nobody can live the gospel. That's why it's delivered in the way that it is. And that is why your life and my life is a miracle. The very fact that we still keep coming back, fellowshipping, listening to the Word of God, is a sign of God's mighty work in our lives. And we can boast of none of this. He sets the standard. He sets the rules. It's all on his basis. And so we find we can't possibly live up to this. We can't even come close to it. So what's the point? What's the point of opening my eyes? What's the point of opening my eyes to idols in my life? To rebellion? To stubbornness? To pride? All those things we battle with. What's the point of opening our eyes to it if we can't even live this and walk this? I can't possibly live up to this. But we have verse 8, that some hope in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart, you say? Why, I don't even know what's in my heart. I'm shocked at times as to what comes out in my heart. And I'm supposed to be a new creation in Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, to change and go beyond self, that is the self-life, to go beyond your mind, your intellect, to go beyond your heart, your flesh, you must know Jesus as your Saviour. If there's any hope for any of us. Now that might sound very basic, but it is something we must never, ever forget. If there's anything that I have been aware of over the last 5 to 10 years with FGA, is how he is bringing all of us to the end of ourselves. And if we resist and we resist, then he leaves us in the state that we are until eventually we can't become utterly desperate. We see from the Beatitude, it speaks about being poor in spirit. We've already said to you that's obtaining that mercy. It then also speaks about those who mourn. What is this mourning? You mourn because you see and you have experienced a fallen world that's falling further and further away from Almighty God. And it causes us to mourn, to be grieved. We also see those who are meek are blessed. In other words, you have tamed that inner strength that comes from Almighty God to keep you faithful, loyal, lowly, not trying to raise yourself up or trying to dominate or take over or whatever it is. We also see those who hunger. What is this hunger in me? Well, it means that a snack isn't enough for you. It doesn't fill you. I require more than that. And of course, that is one of the main things if we're to walk with God and the new birth, that God is all the while keeping us with a good, healthy appetite, wanting more and more, not of self, but of God, to draw closer to Him. That is what he's meaning there. How about the merciful? Those blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, forgiveness. A sign of being merciful is that you forgive. You forgive your enemies. You forgive those that harm you or do wrong to you. That's how you're able to do that, because you have received that mercy. The pure in heart. These are the ones where God has done that work and is doing that work in their heart. They want to please the Father's heart. And in so doing, they can walk with a right motive and attitude. Blessed are the peacemakers. What are the peacemakers? They're the ones that divide the powers of darkness. Whether it be through their prayers and intercessions, or they're keeping their mouth closed, pursuing that peace, trying to stop divisions and so forth. I think you have to have certainly a prayer life to be able to do that, because so much of the powers of darkness tries to cause division, suspicion, hate, and so on. The house of God battles many times with that. So here are these principles that we've been talking about. And then blessed are those who are persecuted, what for? For righteousness' sake. In other words, their righteous life has caused at times persecutions, lies, mistrust. The usual thing that the enemy does. And not Christians thinking that they're persecuted, but they're persecuted because of their stupidity, their pride, their ignorance. They call themselves a Christian, but they walk very much like the world does. And they believe that when things go wrong, oh, I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, they're not. They're just going through trials, what the world goes through. But they're just making it religious. So, you see, nobody can walk this, can they? Nobody can keep this. And I've just touched on these Beatitudes. And this is why Jesus' nature that ruled him has to be ours as well. If there's any hope, if there's any hope of making it into the kingdom of God, or even possibly living up to any of this. So we have to go beyond self. We have to go beyond our intellect. We have to go beyond our heart, our flesh, our wills, everything. There has to be something greater than me if I am to live and walk this. And it's no revelation to us, because his name is Jesus. As I have overcome all things, so you overcome all things as well. That's what the Lord says. If this is anything else, this will lead nothing but to despair. If you are trying to live your life in any other way than your life that is found in Christ Jesus, you will end up in utter despair. Torment. You'll be in torment. There will be no joy in walking with the Lord, no peace. It's become a drudge, a poisonous chalice. That's what happens, sadly, to a lot of religious people. And that is why the Christian life and walk is a supernatural one. It is a miracle what has taken place in your life and my life. And as a result of that miracle, I now share the very nature, the very life, the very spirit that Christ walked by, now lives also in and through me. That's why we say so often, not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. And that is why Jesus didn't come just as a teacher or a prophet. He came also as a redeemer, your redeemer. And if you When you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, if you do not see him as your Redeemer when you read this Word, you will end up in despair. This Word you read will convict you. It will not give you the joy and peace and hope and faith that is to be found in the Word of God and his promises, because you're only hearing him as a teacher. And all of us can only take the ministry of a teacher up to a certain point. Even when we were at school, We found ourselves 5-6 hours at the most being taught by teachers. And we all know when the bell rang, we couldn't get out of the class quick enough to go home. Why? Because you had enough of teaching. There's only so much we can take from a teacher. And God knows he has to teach us, but he knows just how much to teach us. And he will bring us back to remind us that there's one greater than a teacher, and he is your Redeemer, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And his name is Jesus. And that is why he places the very same nature that ruled him, his own life, and all God's standards. These are all based on the new nature. The new nature that God placed in you and in me meant that you would be able to walk this walk. You will be able to please your Heavenly Father. You'll be able to live the standard that God has set. You'll be able to overcome all the things of this world. And I could go on and on and on, because he has shared, he has placed his new nature in you and me. So I'm going to raise a question this morning, and I want you to be absolutely honest. What does the Sermon on the Mount produce in you when you read it? What is it producing? Is it challenging you? Is it putting you in despair? Is it making you feel, what is the point of running this race? Or is there something within you say, that is impossible to even get anywhere near the standard of those principles, but I have overcome this because I now have the new nature, and his name is Jesus in my life, and I walk now by faith and not by sight. We decide on that. We decide on that. You know in your heart what is producing, what is coming out, what is in your mind when you read such things here. Because if we have that new nature and he lives and resides in us, we're going to find that we draw power from that new nature. And that is why we are baptized in the Spirit. And we draw from the Spirit. There is such a wealth. There's such a source to be found through the Spirit of God. The very Spirit that raised him from the dead. The very Spirit that we experience. There is so much to be experienced, to be found, to draw upon. Are you drawing from all of this? That is the question. He's come into your life. He's come uniting himself in oneness with you in order that you draw from him. And that is why we teach the deeper life, for that very purpose. And he shows us how we experience, how we draw power, life, everything from God's Spirit within us. He shows us how we do that. We firstly have to surrender our lives, our wills, our selfish wills. We place it all upon that altar. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You've heard that said many, many times. Then you wait for God to do that work. You can't do any more than place yourself on an altar and you hope the fire will fall to accept and consume it. There may be some who've religiously placed themselves on that altar and are still waiting. No fire has fallen. And you know why? Because they placed themselves on that altar with the wrong motive, the wrong reason, the wrong heart. But you will know when God receives, accepts that sacrifice. Oh, you will know. And I'll tell you how you will know. Because he will make you desperate. He will make you hunger. He will make you experience mercy and grace, forgiveness. You will be aware of him circumcising your heart so that you have that purity of heart. You will be aware of a mourning in you. You will be aware of the circumstances that are around you, people that are around you, life that is around you, how far it has fallen from the grace and mercy of God. You will be aware of all of these things. That is the experience that comes with it, and all of which you can channel back in prayer and intercession. That make our prayers powerful, prevail before the throne of God, before the mercy seat of God. And so all of what we have read here in the Beatitudes is in many ways to be given back to God. The wonderful thing that we can do, giving back to God through the new birth that we have, is by channeling it back, whether it's in praise and worship, when we come together, when we listen to the anointing, when we get on our knees and we pray and we intercede, when we forgive our enemies. All of that is channeling back what the Spirit has done in your life and my life for his glory. That is why he does this. That is why Jesus' nature that ruled him is ours also, for the very purpose that it gives him all the praise, all the glory. We boast in none of this. There's nothing we can boast in. What can we boast in what we're sharing here this morning? Absolutely nothing. It was God that took the initiative. It wasn't in me, and it wasn't in you. And he shares his kingdom with us. He shares all these blessings with us. Oh, we may go through some trial and tribulation. But what is that in comparison to eternity? I know what it is when you come to the end of yourself. I know what it is when you feel there's just no more strength. It's like everything has been drawn and taken from you. It's like you've been robbed, you've been cheated, you've been beaten up, you've been rejected, crushed, put down. All of those feelings and emotions, I'm very aware of it. And yet I'm equally aware of how the power of the Spirit raises me up. And he raises you and I up as well. This is why, brothers and sisters, the word of God is so powerful. When we hear the word of God, not just hearing the Holy Spirit as a teacher, but also as our Saviour and Redeemer, as it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful. There's no other book you will can read. And there are some good books around, even Shakespeare himself. But those words are not living and powerful. Only the Word of God has that. That is why it is a preserved revelation. God has preserved this book because the powers of darkness have tried to destroy the Word of God, the revelation of God's Word. But you read church history and you'll see how God has preserved His Word in a most miraculous ways. And He will continue to do so, even with the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit that's rising now. No longer acknowledges the Word of God anymore, and in actual fact changes it, perverts it, twists it. And you know that as well as I do. And yet God says it's living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is why you and I have such a hunger for the Word. And even God has put that there, for the very fact, because it is my deliverance. It's my hope. It's my confidence that I will make it in to the kingdom of heaven. Because it does exactly what it says. It pierces in areas of my life that nothing else can get to, only the Word of God. That is why we don't listen. We're less and less listening to the things of the world and to the news and the politicians and all these lies that are propagated. Why do we not savour it anymore? Because we know there's only one Word. And we know that Word is like a sword. It's sharper than a sword. And it pierces. It divides. That's the only thing that we can listen to. We can't listen to anything else. And it goes right through me. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, the joints and marrow. And because it does that, it enables me to be able to discern. It works in the heart, changing this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And therefore, if that is my experience, that is your experience, then you can look at things like the Beatitudes and say, yes, amen, it's mine. It's my experience. Because God has placed it there. I have not earned this. This hasn't come because I spend 8 hours a day studying the Word of God. And we're not to say it's not to be studied. But so many have got this wrong. So many think that they can have the right to stand behind a pulpit because they have spent the hours labouring in the Word of God. It's more than that. It's callings, it's gifts that are set on our lives. That is why the body of Christ, the gathering of saints, is a supernatural experience. Because it's Jesus' nature that rules in you and me. And He calls whomever He wants. He chooses whoever He wants. And He anoints whoever He wants. It's got nothing to do with us. We have a will, of course. And He's all the while working and influencing that if we let Him. But He won't rule over your will or my will. He influences it. That is what he does, because he wants everything that we do that comes from the heart. So if you're poor, you have obtained great mercy. If you are mourning because of a fallen world, you are effective to share the good news of the gospel to a dying world. If you're meek, it means that you have received that inner strength. If you're hungering, then a snack is just not enough for you. A sermonette is not enough for you. If you're hungering, you're wanting the meat of the word. Let's look at more of this. He says that those that are merciful, they know that they have been forgiven much because they display that mercy. The pure in heart, they're the ones who are meeting God face to face. They place their life, their heart on the altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2. The peacemakers, they're the ones that divide the powers of darkness and bring the very presence of Almighty God into every situation. This is why I make so much about spiritual warfare, rising up, coming against the powers of darkness, because that is a clear sign you are a peacemaker. You are bringing God's presence into a desperate situation, into an ungodly situation. That is why we need to pray for our governments, our leaders, those things that God shows us, because through our prayers, our spiritual warfare, we're dividing the powers of darkness. We know that the end is going to come. We know that Satan's kingdom is going to be put down and the Lord's kingdom will be ushered in, brought in. We know that. But all the while that we're still here in this life, in this world, and we're still able to pray and intercede, we're still able to push back the powers of darkness. Because once the church is removed, the overcomers are taken away, it's going to be like hell let loose for a season. And it will look as though the Antichrist has won the victory. But the shedding of the blood of the saints and their blood and Israel's blood crying before the altar of God will bring Messiah to come to rule and reign upon the earth and put down the powers of darkness. God has this utterly and completely under control. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Jesus' nature that ruled him is ours also. Draw from the power of the Spirit in your life. He will meet every need. He will cause you to overcome in every situation, every trial. The battle that you have is just in the mind, because that's the only place Satan can try and attack. And even if your mind is under attack, or he's suggesting all his lies or whatever it is, well, it may be just for a while, just for the day or for a few hours, but he was defeated at Calvary, and it's going to pass. All those feelings and emotions that come with trials, tribulations, brothers and sisters, it will pass. Same as the wind comes and goes. Same as the morning, noon and evening comes and goes. It's the same with your trials and your tests. But with the Lord Jesus, nothing changes. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that he is raised up in glory. We thank you that he said he will not leave us comfortless, without a guide, without a teacher, but he has come back to us by the Spirit. And Father, through the Spirit, through the new birth, through the baptism of the Spirit, we've received him. Not a spirit, but him, whose name is Jesus. And therefore, it's no longer about me, about us. It's his life in and through us. Lord, teach us, help us to draw from the life of Christ that now lives in and through us. Father, make this more and more of a reality, an experience. And we know that the life that you mapped out for us, that the trials we go through, or whatever experience, is so designed in order for us to experience. Lord, for example, when somebody hates us, despises us, lies about us, cheats on us, we have the experience of the love of God in Christ Jesus rising up and taking over and coming through us. That is why at times we get in despair, because we are trying to do it. We are trying to be Christian. We are trying to do the right thing. We are trying to read the Word of God. We are trying to pray. And that is the problem. Father, when we are free in the Spirit, we're like the breeze, the air moves wherever it wills, because nothing is stopping it. Lord, what stops so much of you manifesting yourself in and through us is our unbelief, our pride, our hardness of heart. Lord, forgive us and help us. We have seen, Lord, how you bring us to the end of ourselves, and you do it for the very reason to show us that you are our Redeemer, our Saviour. You've come to save us because we're so lost, we're so helpless without you. Father, help us to be appreciative. Help us not to take any of this for granted. Lord, equip us, empower us, that we can stand in this last lap that we find ourselves in the race. We're tiring in the natural. We're at times questioning, am I really going to make it in? Can I really carry on? The pressures at times are so great. But that is where we call upon your grace, your mercy, which is sufficient. And that work which you have begun, you will complete and finish. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, bless you all. Thank you again. It's always a great honour and privilege. And I am so humble when God calls me to do what he does. There are times that words cannot express what God says to us and how he loves us and just encourages us. And we're learning that love, aren't we, more and more. We know that nothing's going to separate us from his love. We know in our hearts that we have the victory. We can't go wrong. Whatever's happening in our lives, and I know some of you, bless your hearts, are going through horrendous trials. But that's where we can pray one for another and believe one for another and not give up, because God never gives up on us.
Receive his heart, receive his mind.